Wonderful view. See it? Just kind of take a moment and look around. The community is gathering. You have to get used to the idea you got to look at each other across the room, or at least talk to each other from time to time. Well, grace and peace to each of you as we gather here this morning to cross the threshold, intentionally marking our way into the spring semester. So welcome to the familiar, yet unfolding possibilities, filled with potential. And for those of you who this is not familiar, welcome to it's becoming familiar for you. So welcome to all new students, returning students, welcome to all faculty, welcome to all staff, and welcome to all guests and family members who have joined us at this convocation. Michael.
Indeed, I echo the welcome Kevin has extended, and note that this continues to be a fascinating and historic era to participate in the life and leadership of the church. As Lonnie's convocation title points us toward, this is indeed a time to be on the way with Jesus. And that takes me to the introduction of Dr. Lonnie Yoder, who has been professor of pastoral care and counseling here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary since 1991, and EMS Associate Dean since 2010. He leads EMS distance learning activities and is also active as a consultant in congregational and denominational settings. Lonnie's PhD is from the University of Iowa. I always accuse him of being Iowa-centric, and he always confirms that, in fact, that is a problem for him. His MDiv is from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, and his BA in mathematics, which surprises me every time I introduce him, but he's very good at mathematics, from Drake University. Yesterday, Lonnie and I had our first meeting as deans since Christmas break, and I experienced this, as you can probably imagine, as particularly bittersweet, since I realized that as Lonnie begins his final semester as associate dean, this was the last time we would begin a semester by catching up with the news affecting EMS and EMU, and each of us as deans. I was very glad to remember that next semester, Lonnie will continue to offer his gifts as professor of pastoral care and counseling. And I was glad that we still do have this semester to treasure the current relationship. I was glad as Lonnie brought me some carefully worked through figures related to our curriculum changes and reminded me just how invaluable his contributions are. I was glad when, as we always do, we touched on so many items of discernment and concern and interest, including how EMU and EMS find our way through particularly intense current awareness of brokenness and associated questions of compassion, consequences, justice. As ever, my heartfelt thanks go to you, Lonnie, for your readiness to offer us a large heart, depth, and integrity of soul, seasoned wisdom emerging from a rich blend of training, experience, scholarship, and intuition. God bless as you speak.
I invite you to pray with me. God of loving kindness, we gather this morning in your presence and we welcome you. You know the path we have journeyed and the way we have come. The joyful, the sorrowful, the painful, the celebrative, engagement of fruitful labor and carefree play. Wandering along restful paths or chaotic ways with close friends and family near at hand, or in moments where there is a sense of aloneness or fear. Even in this time when Eastern Mennonite University community is aware of a deep felt pain on many levels and many questions are at play, it is you who has drawn us on this way to arrive in this place at this time. In this moment of turning aside, may we know you are with us as we walk forward into what is yet to come, holding us in a tension of transformation, knowing that you are still with us on the way. As we journey together, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us. Help us to see you in the midst of unsettled world of our time and our participation in your redemptive love at work. Lord, you know we come with many questions. We search for answers in Scripture, in our studies. We turn to each other for guidance. We often feel confused and wrestle with our thoughts and our feelings. We often grapple with each other about what the truth really is in any given moment, in any given place, in any given situation, the here and now, the not yet but might be, the seeming inevitable. When it is time, Spirit of Christ, quiet our hearts. Help us to sit in stillness and to know you are there, to trust that answers will come and that we will know how to respond with our lives, finding our heart's true purpose in you. Guide us as we choose each day to follow you, to find and offer healing and hope, and to respond in trust and to release in faith what is before us as we are going. Bless us now as we bless you for the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May it be so.
From Mark 1. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending nets. Immediately he called them, And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
A reading from Mark 10. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
John 19:25-27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
I, too, want to extend my welcome to everyone present this morning in whatever role or situation you find yourself. A special welcome to those of you who are entering this community for the first time. Michael mentioned that I began my time in the Eastern Mennonite Seminary community in 1991, and I was flashing back in my mind to those first days and weeks, and there were significant challenges in those days. But I'm grateful that I hung in there and am still a part of this community. I'm also very aware, as Michael noted, that this will be my final semester as Associate Dean, and as such, this will be my final opportunity to speak in the spring convocation. That's part of the role I understand through the years for the Associate Dean. As I thought about what I might speak about, I settled very quickly on a very simple kind of admonition, and that is that we are called to be in ministry and mission on the way. That's a simple statement. I hope it has significant and perhaps at times even profound implications for the way we go about our lives. In 2001 and 2002, our family spent a sabbatical year on the island of Jamaica, which you see on the wall here. And I want to begin my reflections and end them with two different stories. The first story comes from the beginning of our sojourn to Jamaica. And Matt, if we can go to the next slide. I take you to Baltimore Washington International Airport in late August of 2001, very early in the morning. I think we arrived at the airport at perhaps 5 a.m. with our luggage, family of four, 8 checked bags, and 4 carry-ons. And as you know, if you've ever done this, you're trying to get as many of your life provisions in that luggage and carry-ons to last for a year. One of those suitcases is right here. We had 4 of them. They were exact duplicates of one another. We spent days, if not weeks, packing and repacking, especially these 4 large suitcases, and trying to keep them just under 50 pounds so that we would not have to pay an extra fee. So there we are. We arrive at 5 a.m. We are, in fact, the first people in line at the ticket counter, at the Air Jamaica ticket counter. We wait for probably 45 minutes to an hour before an agent comes. Meanwhile, the line grows long. Immediately behind us is an elderly Jamaican woman with either her daughter or granddaughter. And I became aware that this Jamaican woman was having trouble just standing there, physically challenged by as she was preparing to travel. So when the ticket agent arrived, I invited the elderly Jamaican woman and the family member accompanying her to go first to check their baggage. They did, quickly, and then we moved in and started checking, beginning with our large suitcases, four of them. And yes, they were coming in, 49.5 pounds, 48.6 pounds. But one of them, 51.5 pounds. And the agent looks at me and says, "You understand, sir, that you're overweight on this suitcase?" And I said, "Yes, it's obvious." And then he said, "I'm going to give you a break." He said, "I saw what you did for that elderly woman, allowing her to go first." He says, "I'm not going to charge you. It's going to go with 51.5 pounds. On the way." Well, there are many on-the-way stories during our year in Jamaica, but that experience was representative of one of the key learnings for that year, and that is that indeed ministry and mission happens along the way. There were so many experiences during that year that helped me to understand that it's not at the starting point or the ending point that significant ministry happens, it's in between. And that emerging awareness transformed the way I read Scripture. We've heard a number of the Scriptures that I began to read differently, and Matt, let's go to the next slide. The first Scripture that we heard was from Mark chapter 1, Jesus' call of the disciples, and I put here in the yellow or gold the words that started to jump out at me as I read this very familiar Scripture. Jesus called the disciples not out of a process where he formed a search committee and had a very careful process where he chose who he was going to call. Rather, Jesus was passing along by the Sea of Galilee, and what he saw, several individuals, Simon and Andrew, that he called. And then shortly thereafter, he's going on a little further, and he saw, and this is a theme in the Scriptures that were read today, the ability to see as we're living our lives, the ability to see as we're moving through our days. In Jamaica, many people walk from point A to point B, and so there are many individuals along the side of the road. And just that kind of awareness also helped me to read Scripture in a new way, because the New Testament context is filled with a very similar kind of setting where people are along the side of the road. Recently, I went through the Gospel of Mark and looked for these kinds of prepositional phrases leading up to certain accounts, and I counted no less than 23 such accounts where Jesus or someone else is on the way when ministry and mission happens. We heard one of them as Jesus and his entourage was leaving Jericho. There was this blind man, Bartimaeus, sitting along the side of the road. And in some ways, it was a bit of an interruption for Jesus to engage Bartimaeus, but he does. And that scripture text ends with Bartimaeus joining that entourage. What? On the way. At least 23 accounts in the Gospel of Mark. It's not unique to the Gospel of Mark. We find this in the other Gospels as well.
perhaps not as frequently, but it's there. In Luke, we're all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, which is a Jesus story which happens on the way and talks about various individuals and what they do on the way. In the Gospel of John, we have the account of the woman at the well. Jesus here is passing through Samaria, and yet it becomes a setting for profound and significant ministry. In the Gospel of Matthew, the angel of the Lord appears to the women at the tomb as they are moving and says, "Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." It is on the way that much ministry and mission happens. Next slide. And next slide. I want to unpack a bit this on-the-way mission and ministry with three invitations to us as we enter this semester. First, pay attention along the way. Remember, it was Jesus seeing Simon and Andrew, Jesus seeing James and John. This theme of seeing is important. And so for us to be engaged in ministry on the way, we have to see, we have to pay attention. Several years ago, one student in one of my distance learning classes, who was a pastor in central Illinois, shared with the class that his congregation with several others was involved in a new mission initiative in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Mark, you probably know where that's at, not too far from where you hail. Now, this pastor and his congregation and those involved in the missional initiative lived about 2.5 hours north of Mount Vernon, Illinois. And so they had to travel. And this pastor, who was a student in the class, shared with the class that as a part of that missional initiative, they were committed to paying attention as they traveled to and from Mount Vernon, Illinois. For example, he said, "We encouraged one another as we stopped for gasoline for our vehicles to pay attention to who we encountered. When we stopped and ate at a restaurant, we paid attention to those who were around us and took initiative in engaging those individuals." As we enter this semester, I invite each of us in whatever our role and context is to pay attention. As we teach our classes, as we study, as we provide administrative and support services, pay attention. Now, the on the way can be understood either literally or it can be understood figuratively. Literally, traveling from point A to point B. In my 25 years here, I probably have one of the shorter commutes to and from work. I counted one day, and it's 350 steps. But that short commute takes me across Mount Clinton Pike, often through the parking lot, and then into the building. I can't tell you how many significant conversations I've had on the way in the parking lot, coming to or going home from my work here. Significant parking lot conversations. Perhaps not so significant parking lot conversations, but significant for the individuals I encounter. Dozens of times I've had a car pull up to me, roll down the window, and say, "Where is the campus center? Where is Roselawn? Where is the Commons?" And it's a real privilege to be able to say, "Well, here's how you get there." And they roll back up the window, often with a smile on their face, and move on. Ministry on the way. I've also had numerous opportunities to greet individuals walking up and down Mount Clinton Pike, many of them residents at Gemeinschaft, just at the crest of the hill. Again, opportunity to engage others on the way. What happens in your daily, weekly travels, commutes. Pay attention this semester. Next. Interruptions are often more than interruptions. I think this is one of my key learnings as associate dean. I've tried to work with my office door open, which leads to lots of interruptions. It's real easy for someone to just walk into the office, and I'm okay with that. But I've learned that if I'm working to put on hold what I'm doing and engage whoever comes through the door. Many of you know recently that I had the privilege and opportunity as an Iowan to attend the Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. And on the way story from that experience, there was a man seated two rows behind me who was telling a story of what happened to him as he entered the stadium. He encountered an elderly woman who was distraught. Why? Because she had lost her ticket to the game and couldn't find it. Now, if you know anything about the price of Rose Bowl tickets, this was no small loss. The man telling the story said, I reached into my pocket, pulled out a ticket, and I gave it to her and said, here, I can address your need. Use this ticket to enter the stadium. And he said, I began to walk on. And this woman and her family protested and said, wait a minute, can we give you some money? What's your name? How can we thank you? And he said, it's not about money, it's not about thanks. And he said, I walked on. And then as he was telling the story to the person, he said, that's what this event is about. And he repeated, he said, that's what this event is about. Now, I was sitting there thinking, well, his narrative about what this event was about was quite different than a lot of others' understandings of what this event was about. But he was trying to make the point that his act of giving this woman in need a ticket was really of primary concern for him. As we're on the way, what are the ways that we take interruptions and use them as opportunities to engage others meaningfully? And now the third point, improvise. I encourage all of us to plan for this semester and its activities. Some of you have your syllabi already and will need to plan about how you execute meeting the requirements in those syllabi. But as you plan, be prepared to improvise. Much faithfulness is improvisational in nature. The third text we had read this morning has always intrigued me. Jesus on the cross. If there's ever a situation where someone is on the way from life to death and beyond, it's Jesus in that moment. He could well have focused all of his energies on what he was experiencing. But as he looked out, and the text says, do I have that text? Go to the next slide. Yes. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and others. And then when Jesus saw, again, Jesus sees. In this great transition that Jesus is experiencing, he sees his mother, he sees his beloved disciple. He recognizes in that moment that this is a challenging time for both of them. He recognizes that relationally things are changing in terms of his relationship with his own mother and his beloved disciple. And in my mind, he improvises. He says, here are two people who need someone else. And he gets them together and says, Here's how I hope you relate to each other going forward. And the text says that they did. And so as you go through this semester, improvise. Plan, yes, but improvise also. I close with a final Jamaican story that happened near the end of our time in Jamaica. Next slide. It has to do with that vehicle that you see in the background. That is me, by the way. Actually on the side of the road getting our drinking water supply about 5 miles from where we lived. There was a government pipe that came up out of the ground with a short hose on it. It wasn't marked in any way. You just had to know where this was. And On a weekly basis, I would go there with 2 5-gallon containers and get our drinking water for the week. But it's that Land Rover in the back that is at the center of this story. That Land Rover, let's just say it wasn't the most reliable vehicle. It was constantly in need of repair during our year. We had a mechanic who we were referred to, who had a yard name or a nickname in Jamaica, and his yard name was Quack. Now, when I first heard about a mechanic whose nickname was Quack, I said, I'm not sure I want to take my vehicle there. But he proved to be a very reliable mechanic. Now, late in our time in Jamaica, we were traveling, our family of four was traveling in this Land Rover. Let's go to the next slide. I have here a relief map. You can't see it very well, but we were traveling from the south coast where we live to the north coast near the western edge of the island. And you can't see very well here, but the lighter colors are the mountains. This is a relief map. And we were beginning to head up the first mountain range to get from the south to the north coast. And all of a sudden, when I went to shift from first to second gear, the Land Rover, it wouldn't shift. We were stuck in first gear. Now, at this point, it's probably only about 18 miles from the south coast to the north coast, and we were about a third of the way there. So we only had about 12 miles left, and I initially said, well, we'll just drive in first gear for the next 12 miles. That didn't last very long. We pulled along the side of the road, go to the next slide, and we sat there. Now, in Jamaica, we learned that if you pull along the side of the road, you'll soon have people surrounding you. This is not the man, but he looked like this. He was a Rastafarian man with long dreadlocks, much longer than in this photo. And he said, what's the problem, man? And I said, we're stuck in first gear, and it won't go. And he says, oh, I know a mechanic. He just follow me. And he took off running. He was a tall man, and we were in first gear. We could barely keep up with him. Fortunately, he only went about a quarter of a mile running down the road. And he motioned us off to the side of the road under a tree, and he said, I'll go get the mechanic. And shortly, a man appears, crawls under our vehicle, spends a few minutes there, crawls out, and says, yes, you need to have your clutch replaced. And this mechanic, who operated under a tree, said, I don't have the facility to do this, but he says, I know a mechanic a little further up the road. And he said, if you don't mind, I'll jump in your vehicle and I'll direct you there. And sure enough, we went another mile up the road, and we pulled into a place where there was an actual building that looked like a mechanic might operate out of. And the first mechanic introduces us to the second mechanic. His name was Walter. And Walter began to engage me around, well, you must be tourists on the way to the airport in Montego Bay. Can I help you get there? And I said, no. We've been living on the island, involved in mission work. And he said, are you Christian? And I said, yes, we're Christian. And he said, what kind of Christian are you? What denomination are you affiliated with? And I said, well, we're Mennonites. Well, what is a Mennonite? He had never heard of a Mennonite. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I've got a Land Rover that's got a bad clutch that I want replaced, and meanwhile, I'm being interrogated about my faith. Well, I gave my best 3 to 5 minute synopsis of what it means to be a Mennonite, and Walter at the end said, okay. He says, you're a lot like me. He says, I'm a Christian. I happen to be a Baptist Christian, a little bit different than Mennonite, but we share a lot in common. Now, how can we work on your vehicle? And long story short, we left our Land Rover with Walter. He said it would take him 3 days to replace the clutch. Major task, by the way, for a Land Rover. He engaged a young man to take us where we were going, a taxi driver by the name of Carlos, who became a good friend for our remaining time in Jamaica. But on the way, in this situation, three individuals, the unnamed Rastaman, the unnamed first mechanic, and then the named mechanic, Walter, actually four, and then the taxi driver, Carlos, who whenever we traversed this route in our remaining time in Jamaica was often along the side of the road, recognized our Land Rover, and would wave in recognition. Be open to the ways that you can actually receive ministry and mission along the way this semester. It's not just that we extend it. Yes, we extend it, but we open ourselves to receiving that ministry and mission along the way. That is my prayer for this semester, for each of us individually and for us collectively, that we both extend and receive ministry and mission along the way. Blessings in this new semester.
May we pay attention. May we notice the interruptions that are more than interruptions. May the gift of the presence improvise in our lives. Lonnie, would you come and pray us into the semester?
Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we are, if you will, at point A in this semester journey. Point B, the end point, is out there somewhere chronologically at the end of April. We covet your presence, your wisdom, your awareness in the days and weeks ahead. Help us to pay attention, to embrace the interruptions, and to both plan and improvise along the way. Amen.